I'm Steve McLeod, and this is Bootstrapped, the podcast for people running bootstrapped software companies or wanting to run one. I run two bootstrapped software products, Feature Upvote, which lets your customers vote on ideas to improve your product, and Sabre Feedback, which offers a feedback widget you can add to your website. Follow along as I learn from talking to other bootstrappers and experts, and just maybe you'll learn something too.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Bootstrapped FM. Our normal host, Steve McLeod, is off today. Not sure exactly where he is. Possibly he's even on his way back from Australia, where he's been trapped for the last few months, heading back to Europe. But hopefully we'll get an update from him at next episode. But meanwhile, I'm here holding down the fort as a co-host. My name's Ed Freifogel. And today I'll be chatting with a good friend, Peter Soom, a bootstrapper who is building Branch, a deployment tool for WordPress. He also operates another WordPress tool, WP Pusher, and he's a regular podcaster on the Out of Beta podcast, where he shares his progress and lessons learned in bootstrapping. And most importantly, he's a longtime listener here to the Bootstrap podcast. Peter, welcome. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Thank you. It's really kind of fun to be on this podcast. It's one of the first kind of bootstrapper podcasts I listened to back in the old days. I know it's the format and the kind of like the personal is a little different these days, but yeah, it's fun to be on here. So I'm Peter, and I'm the founder of WP Pusher, which you just mentioned. Been running that as sort of like a side project for about 5 years, selling a WordPress plugin to WordPress developers, and then in early 2019, launched Branch, which is a SaaS, but kind of like in the same space. And also in 2019, was lucky to convince Rob Walling and Einar Wallset to give me some money so I could do this as a part of the Tiny Seed Accelerator. And so since they invested, I've been doing Branch full time, and it's my full time gig these days, trying to make that a profitable business, but very much still in kind of like the bootstrapper mindset. So yeah, it's good to be on here.
Thanks for joining us, Peter. So I thought today, since both you and I have businesses that target developers, we'd go a bit deeper on the topic of selling to software developers. So it's something Steve and I have covered before, but I think there was kind of a first conversation, and then there's always more to learn. So in your case, you're selling specifically to WordPress developers, and more specifically actually through WordPress developers at agencies. So I imagine there are a lot of wrinkles to that and complexity. So tell us a little bit about what it is you're trying to do, how you're trying to enter the market, and how it's going.
Yeah, I think you are definitely right that selling to developers it's kind of different than to sell to, I think, most other people. And, you know, we talked about the topic before we started recording, and it made me think, like, what are some of those differences? So I definitely have a few ideas about that. Another thing you said is you said WordPress developers, and that's kind of like, that was like a whole thing for me in the beginning with Branch, that, you know, in a lot of developer communities, WordPress developers aren't really seen as developers. So first of all, I kind of like needed to figure out if it's even developers that I'm selling to, or if it's designers or web developers. Like, you can group developers in many different categories for sure. But yeah, it's also been different for me with WP Pusher and Branch. So WP Pusher is a WordPress plugin that helps you install your own plugins and theme from a GitHub repository. So the use case for that is typically like you're a WordPress developer, you have a WordPress theme, and you host the code on GitHub. And then you do this for clients, and you want an easy way to make sure that the stuff that you push to GitHub is the same stuff that's on the actual WordPress side that the client have. But it's a pretty simple product, and it's not so much for like larger agencies, and it's usually for like, it's more like a freelancer kind of product. So, you know, with WP Pusher, the decision maker is all often the user as well. And the price point is super low. So it's like a developer has this need. They click around. Maybe they try the free version first. And then they need some of the paid features and then they upgrade. And it's like, it's a pretty easy decision for them and they don't need to ask anyone for permission.
What's the price point there roughly?
So for WP Pusher, it's an annual price and it's, we have a $40 a year plan that we don't advertise, but that it's a pretty significant part of the revenue. And then, but besides that, it's $100, $200 and $500. And okay. I think the average is probably the $100.
Okay.
So spread out over the year though, but they pay annually.
And with Branch, how does that, what market are you targeting there? And what is your pricing model there?
Yeah. So Branch is different because it's more of a, like people often need, they need more advanced features and they need collaboration. So it's still WordPress developers, but they usually work at an agency. And that means that they aren't necessarily the person with a credit card or the one to make the decision about what software to buy. And also the price point is, you know, 5 to 10 times that of WP Pusher. So it's a different decision-making process. And that's definitely something I'm trying to learn at the moment. Like, who are you actually selling to and how do you make it in to the agency, which is super interesting.
How are you going about that? What's your technique there to really flesh that out?
Yeah, I think with Branch for sure, it's kind of similar with WP Pusher. It's definitely the freemium model. So I'm trying to make it as easy as possible for anyone who wants to kind of like give Branch a spin to do that. And that means that we have a free plan, which gives you like a limited amount of deployments every month. And hopefully that's enough to like see the tool and try it out. I've definitely seen that, you know, a CTO or something like technical lead at an agency is asking someone to come up with ideas for how to like improve their workflow. And then, you know, if the first step is that they also like need to find a credit card and stuff like that, it's easier if they can just get in there and then try the tool out and then they can talk to the decision maker and kind of like, then, you know, you probably know this, then it's the developer trying to sell your solution to the decision maker or the person with the credit card.
Yeah, we see that behavior a lot where people, you have to give people a chance to try. Otherwise, they'll stop, you know, and they'll move to someone else where they can't try. And then they won't leap the hurdle to then trying it out, deciding that it meets their need, and then going to the decision maker and saying, look, we need to pay for this.
Yeah, so you definitely need to be aware that you're kind of outsourcing the sales process a little bit. You need to make sure that they have the information they need and kind of like whatever sales material they need, you need to make sure that they have that available. But that's something I'm trying to figure out as well. Like, is that just like documentation or maybe a screencast, or is it just like them trying it out and sharing their experience? Like what's the sales material that they actually need?
You know, we've been talking a lot about that as well, because I've seen sites where they literally have like, you know, the CEO page or the CTO page where they list out like all the possible objections the CTO could have. And they tell the person the exact words to use to try to describe the process. But I don't know. I'm always a little skeptical of that it works that easily.
Yeah. With WP Pusher, we pretty early on, we added like a page that was basically that, like how to sell this to your boss. And it also had like a PDF version, so you could print it out and literally put it on their desk.
All right.
But I honestly don't think, I don't know that a lot of sales come through that. I think if a developer has a good experience and they have a strong testimonial that they share with their boss, I think that's probably the best way to go about it. Unless you're like super like security hurdles or something like that to cross, or it's like enterprise stuff, but that's not really the case, the price point where we're at least.
No, yeah, I agree with you. The best thing to do is have a clear testimonial from someone who has used it. So ideally the developer himself has used it, or he's heard from someone else who has used it, and that's what gets him to try. Have you had any good success of getting people? The issue is, like, if on my site, if I say, hey, we're the best, no one believes it, because obviously I'm going to claim I'm the best, right? So the best sales strategy we've seen is if some independent third party says, oh, OpenCage is the best, right? And ideally it's like some guy, he just describes like, here's the problem I had. I tried these three sites. I used this one. It worked great. But it's very difficult to get someone to write that, right? It's just every now and again, it just kind of magically happens. But how can I make that? Any ideas on how to make that happen a little more organically? Have you experimented in that direction at all?
I think it's back to the testimonials, actually. And it's like, it's something we talked a lot about, Matt, my co-host and I, on Out of Beta. I think Andreessen Horowitz, they call this product user fit. And it's basically like a part of kind of like reaching product user fit with your customers is that they can't stop talking about it. And they give these really strong testimonials, maybe on social media, or like they email them to you or something like that. And that's something I experienced early on with WP Pusher. And it was just pure luck. Obviously, I had a good product, but it really resonated with people early on. So it was really common for people after they tried WP Pusher the first time to go to Twitter and use something like hashtag mind blown or like share a screenshot or something like that.
But did you ask them to do that somehow or something?
No. Like,
obviously it's a frustrating business strategy to just be like, oh, well, I hope today someone, you know, says something fantastic about my product. I mean, obviously, of course, you're continually working to make your product fantastic.
Yeah. But, I didn't ask them to do it.
It's so random. And then also, like, you know, okay, maybe person A does it and that guy is like, oh, I'd love WP Pusher, and that guy has 5 followers on Twitter. And then, you know, the next day person B does it and that guy has 5,000 followers and it, you know. So I guess what I'm trying to struggle with is like how can I incentivize that a bit more? How can I make that happen? I was hoping you had some magic recipe.
I mean, the boring answer is that if your product is like, you need to excite your, but you know, yeah, the problem is some products aren't necessarily that exciting, but like if you're sitting manually every day and like moving files over FTP and you install a plugin and then magically, like every time you push to GitHub, the whole, you know, all your changes is just like, they just magically appear on the side. Like that's something you didn't expect an experience like that. And that it was kind of like, it was just way smoother than you thought it would be. Like, it's hard to kind of shut up about it. So I guess that's like lucky if you have a product like that, that like dramatically improves people's workflow. But I guess with like geocoding, it's not like people were manually doing geocoding before. Yeah.
I mean, you know, we do have people who like our service and our fans or whatever, but
yeah.
Correct. It's a challenge to create the sense of awe and wonderment, you know?
Yeah, it's if your product is more of a utility, which is something I've been thinking about with Branch as well. Like, you know, I mean, if I switch electricity company, I'm not going to be like super excited the day I like turn on a lamp or something. I'm like going to tweet about this power in my house. Or,
right. You just want it to work utility. And you want the price to be fair and that's it. Like,
yeah.
And then you never want to talk about it again.
You never want to switch. No,
you never want to go about, you just want to go about your business. You don't want to dwell on, you're not going to like call up your cousin and be like, hey, I got new electricity. You know, I mean,
yeah. With Branch, I actually did ask for those kind of testimonials early on when I was kind of like in early access before I had like an early access list. And the kind of like the main play I had in the beginning with Branch was this manifesto thing where it's about how WordPress developers are developers as well, because I think my experience was that in WordPress, developers weren't being treated like developers. They were being treated like, or the focus about when you were talking about like the experience of using WordPress and developing for like the main focus was on the end user and not the developer.
Right.
Whereas like with a web framework like Laravel or Ruby on Rails, the focus is on developer happiness and like, you know, improving the lives of the developers, but that wasn't really the case with WordPress. So that resonated with a lot of people and got me a lot of attention. And then kind of like to continue that play a bit, I, after someone signed up for the early access list, I had like a tweet, like a pre-filled tweet that they could share that said, I just signed up for the Branch beta because I'm a real developer or something like that. And quite a few people actually did tweet that out. But I think that's because I had like a story that resonated with them and kind of tied it together like that, if that makes sense.
Well, I think that's quite clever. I mean, stories are what people relate to. Stories are easy to remember. People don't really remember facts. They remember stories. So building on this topic that we're both kind of creating infrastructure services, one challenge that we've seen is, you know, when it comes to infrastructure, you want it to be fully reliable and dependable, and then you want to go about your business. And that can be hard as a bootstrapper because people don't have faith that, they just see, oh, you're a tiny business. Can I really trust you? Will you still be there in 6 months? Should I invest the time to depend on this service? Do you see that dynamic at all? And if so, what are you doing to counter that?
Yeah, I haven't seen it a lot with my customers, but one of the big kind of like growth strategies that I'm trying to kind of execute on with Branch is having partnerships with WordPress hosting companies. And those, like kind of like the funny thing was that when I started Branch, I didn't think I would be doing sales in like a traditional sense because the price point is too low to justify like a sales process. Gotcha. But I realized later that actually like doing the partnerships with the hosting companies is the actual sales. So when I talk to the hosting companies, especially the larger ones, like a question that always comes up is like, you know, a version of how do we know that you're going to be around a year from now if we start recommending this to our customers?
Right.
And yeah, it's a hard one to answer, but it's like a many different things. And obviously this is not like the bootstrapper answer, but having investors that people like one of the largest WordPress hosting companies is WP Engine. And I'm lucky that Rob Walling is an investor in Branch. And he was also one of the first investors in WP Engine. So just stuff like that makes it easier. And having spent 5 years running and maintaining WP Pusher, which has quite a good reputation in the WordPress world, also helps. But that's not an easy fix, right? People have been using it for 5 years and they've seen me fix stuff whenever it came up. And with a product like WP Pusher, it's usually not because I don't release a lot of updates to it. So that's not kind of like why it would break. It usually breaks whenever GitHub or Bitbucket changes their APIs or something like that. And well, actually usually Bitbucket. But people have just seen me like every time there was like a breaking API change, it was fixed pretty quickly in WP Pusher. So they had kind of like that trust. And I think I'm able to bring that with me with Branch, even in like conversations with hosting companies, like a lot of the time, like they don't realize that it's the same person behind the two products, but then they realize that I'm also the creator of WP Pusher. And they're like, oh, I've been recommending that to my customers for years. And it's like, okay, you've already been recommending a product that I created. And it's kind of like, it's helped you close a deal or something like that over and over again. And then now I have this other product that's like even more promising, like stuff like that helps, but it's not like, it's not an easy fix and that people can just, you know, or an easy hack that people can just copy, unfortunately.
No, but I do think those are good arguments. It's stressing how long you've been active in the community serving the same set of customers. I guess I do think that is one underappreciated benefit of taking funding is that you can, particularly if you take funding from the right people who help add to your credibility.
Yeah.
It's a double-edged sword though.
And another thing actually with WP Pusher, it's in the beginning, one of the selling points was actually it hooks into the existing WordPress functionality. So you don't need to add your SSH credentials or FTP credentials or anything like that. So actually, WP Pusher was the obvious choice if you were like super, you know, if you were worried about the security aspects. But then like now 5 years later with Branch, like I have the confidence to ask for their SSH credentials, right? Because hopefully I would be knowing what I'm doing, right? So.
Okay. I guess you've been working on Branch now for what, 2 years or so? Year and a half?
Yeah.
What would you do differently if you were starting again? What have you learned along the way in terms of selling to developers and how to position yourself and things like that?
Yeah, I guess the big question, of course, is like, would I be selling to developers again? I think people like developers selling to non-developers always think that like, oh, it'd be great if I could just sell to developers because like it's my people. I know what they want. And then if you're selling to developers, maybe you're thinking the opposite, like, because developers can't be like a pain, you know, they don't take any crap. Like
one big objection, I wonder if you get this as well, is the, I can just build this myself. Do you hear that much?
Yeah. Well, I love to kind of like reverse that.
How do you do that?
whenever people with WP Pusher, whenever people ask me for like a new feature or like want it to do something that it doesn't do currently, you know, it works for like 95%, but like the 5%, they always have like stuff they want me to do differently.
Yeah.
I always like tell them, well, you're a developer, so you could just do that yourself. You could just, so like I have all these ways that you can extend the plugin. So I just tell them, well, you can just build it and let me know how you fixed it. And then maybe I can share your solution with other people.
All right.
But yeah, I think actually a great customer for both Branch and WP Pusher is someone who thought they were going to fix it by building it themselves and then realize that they don't want to maintain that. And then they come back and they want to outsource that to someone who dedicates their time to like solve these problems.
We have a lot of luck with people because our service is kind of built on various open source projects. And we have a lot of luck with people who first they run it themselves and then they realize it's not as easy as it looks, or maybe the employee moves on who was managing it or whatever. I could imagine for in your case, that's a good argument with the agencies to say, look, you know, your team members come and go, right? But you need a system that just keeps working regardless. And so I think there must be ways to package that argument well. And
do you get that objection a lot with your business?
Sometimes we do, less so now. I mean, we also have done a lot to try to differentiate our service and add things on top. And also to a degree, the thing is the people who are like, oh, I could build this myself. Usually I've just gotten wiser and learned not to spend that much time with them, you know, and I focus instead on
that's the thing on
the higher value customers who, you know, they see the cost of maintenance. Again and again, I see with developers, particularly, you know, I think this is one of the hallmarks of more junior developers to focus on the effort of building something. And almost always anything can be built. The question is, can it be maintained? And it's like you said, like you know, the APIs will change and all those things. And the actual changes could be minor, but it requires someone who knows how it works, who knows where to make the change, how to test it, how to, you know, and that's how systems slowly rot is bit by bit, one piece stops working or whatever. And
yeah,
so particularly organizations, you know, there's high turnover amongst engineering teams. People are jumping from job to job, or they're working with freelancers or whatever who are here today and gone tomorrow or whatever. So making the argument of stability, I think, is a very strong one to the decider.
I think the good part about agencies is that they also charge hourly. So usually if you're an agency, if you work at an agency and you wanted to like build your own solution or something, you would have to do it in your own free time.
Hmm.
And then maybe it's not that appealing.
Okay. Maybe so. Yeah. Maybe that's what are the things you dislike most about selling to agencies, or what any negatives you've discovered?
Well, with like developers in general, like they're very nitpicky in my experience. And it's like, you know, especially probably the ones that think that they could just build it themselves are the same people that would, you know, argue with you for hours about like how you don't have like the right permissions in GitHub, or like why you do things in like a certain way, or like, you know.
Gotcha.
But I think overall, like I kind of enjoy selling to developers, and I think it's probably because I'm a developer myself. So maybe I think if I like a non-developer selling to developers is super hard, and developers like they see through a lot of like sales crap. Like they just don't buy into all that stuff. Like the product needs to be good, and you need to kind of be like, you need to have a pretty solid product, and security and stuff like that is something that you need to up your game about if you're selling to developers. In my experience, developers care a lot about the details.
Yes, that's true. That's true. One thing I quite like about Branch is the design of your website. Very clean, very well done. So, and did you feel like that was a necessary requirement also because you're selling to agencies or what? Because I find it's mixed. Either a lot of dev projects have no design, like the design is terrible, or it's kind of super slick. But that can then tip over and be like over-designed, right? And people are like, oh, yeah, you know, this is too salesy. And I feel like with Branch, you do a very good job of kind of just being right in the middle, in that it's very clean and easy to understand what it is you do and get the message across, but it's not over-designed. It's not, I don't feel like it feels like it's for developers. you know, it wasn't built by a marketing guy.
Actually, when I think about it, like when, if we think about our two companies and the customers we have, I would expect someone who used OpenKH to be, you know, closer to like the Linux OpenBSD kind of developer type, and someone using Branch or WP Pusher be a lot closer to like a designer, like especially with WP Pusher, like it's super popular with designers as well, because you don't need to like know, like you don't want to like run all the SSH or FTP commands yourself or write your own bash scripts. Like you want to outsource that. So I think maybe my customers, when I think about it, are probably less developers than maybe your customers.
Well, they're much more front end, I would say. Our service is very back end. Yeah,
that's a good distinction.
It's very about like the data quality, data integrity, how frequently is the data being updated, and like there is no like visual aspect to it really.
Like we don't get a lot of like security questions or anything like that. To be honest, it's not really a big concern.
Huh? That's surprising because it kind of should be if you're changing people's website, but
yeah. Well, yeah, I think it's pretty transparent, like what we do and how we do it. And then maybe if it's recommended by a hosting company, you don't question it too much. Maybe you should.
Yeah. All right, Peter, any closing thoughts as we kind of wrap up? I'm sure that we could go a lot deeper and maybe we'll do that in a follow-up episode at some point. But any final lessons that you think the bootstrappers out there can take away? If anyone who's just at the start of their journey thinking about building a service for developers?
Well, I just kind of like want to restate that I don't think you should be selling to developers if you aren't a developer yourself, but also like the common wisdom that you shouldn't sell to developers because they're cheap and they don't want to pay for software. They just want everything for free or build it themselves or whatever is also not necessarily true. And I think selling to developers is a great way to get into an organization. It's like a nice, you know, bottom up strategy because, you know, maybe the developer sits next to the CTO or the CEO or whoever like is a decision maker and can help get your product into that organization. So I actually really enjoy selling to developers. And another benefit is like the kind of like bug reports you get have like, you know, error logs and screenshots and all that stuff, because developers understand like how to submit a good bug report.
That is an underappreciated benefit, actually. I really thought about that. Okay, well, good chat. How can people learn more about you, Peter, or Branch, and how can they keep tabs on your projects?
Yeah, so if they're doing WordPress stuff, they can check out Branch, branchci.com. If they want to hear more about kind of like the behind-the-scenes stuff, they could check out our podcast, which is over on outofbeta.fm. And I'm on Twitter. It's just my name, Peter Soom.
Very cool. Thanks for coming on the show today. Bye.
Thanks for having me.
That concludes this episode of Bootstrapped. You can discuss this episode and other bootstrapping topics on our forums at discuss.bootstrapped.fm.